This is certainly an exciting day for all of us as we rejoice together what God has been doing amongst us for a number of years. I still remember a few short years ago when the dream of this ministry was being birthed in the hearts of some of the leaders over at Metro Detroit Chinese Alliance, and to see what God has done in these past number of years is very encouraging, I know, to all of us. I want to share a short passage with you. If you turn to the book of Ephesians, please. There is a verse in this chapter that we often overlook, or it's just one of those verses that we tend to read through and we don't think about it a whole lot. I want to share with you what this verse means, because it's going to bring, I trust, tremendous encouragement to you this afternoon. It's encouraging to me every time I reflect on the realities of what this particular verse is saying. Before I begin reading the first few verses of Ephesians, would you please join me in a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to gather together as your church and to exalt your name in song and in word. We are so grateful for the theology of those songs that we just sang, reflections of truth that has been applied to our lives and the things that you have done for us, the things that you have promised us for the days ahead. Now, as we open up your word together, we know that you have instructed us that whenever we do that, you will use those times to take your word, which is God-breathed, and use these times to teach us, rebuke us, correct us, and train us in righteousness. Would you do that this afternoon, Lord, individually and corporately, as we commit this time now to you and the ministering presence of your Holy Spirit? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be, as you've already gathered, preaching and speaking in English. No translation. But we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1. We see here in the first verse, Paul's writing to the church in Ephesus. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. This is key now, to the saints in Ephesus. It's important to know right at the beginning of Ephesians that Paul is writing to believers. That's why he references this book here to the saints. So as this letter was written for the church, let's, as the church today, receive it in a similar fashion. Verse 2 is a common opening: grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul goes on now in verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was studying Ephesians recently, I looked at that particular verse and I found myself asking, how has God spiritually blessed us? And I want to share with you five things that I've come up with that I believe Paul is trying to communicate to the church of ways that God has blessed us. And as you see me run through these very quickly, as you listen to these different points, you're going to see how they apply to your life and apply to my life, and they should bring tremendous encouragement to you and tremendous encouragement to me this afternoon. Because these are truths that Paul was referring to, I believe, when he wrote this letter to the church in Ephesus. Now, what I'm going to be doing is something that when you're in seminary, they encourage you not to do. I'm going to be throwing out a few theological terms that many people stumble on because they don't always come with clarity in their definitions, and I'm going to be describing them, but stay with me for the next 20 minutes. You will be deeply encouraged as you grapple with me the understanding of what Paul was saying here. Here's the first spiritual blessing that I believe Paul was referring to when he wrote to the church in Ephesus. The first one is a theological term called regeneration. Now, regeneration, if you've ever come across that, is a very simple word to understand. To boil it down, it just means to be born again. That's why when you look in the book of John and Nicodemus is dialoguing with Jesus in chapter 3, Jesus tells him, you must be born again. You turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17, and Paul's telling the church in Corinth that when you come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, the old has gone, the new has come. In other words, when we become born again, something changes inside of us. We become new creatures in Christ inside. It's a wonderful teaching when you reflect on it, because you can look at all the world religions. I don't care which one you want to pick. Pick any one of them. And all of them teach, not only are they teaching mistruths, but in their teaching, they're encouraging their people to earn their goodness before the eyes of the Creator, to earn your way into whatever system they have of being right with their religion. Christianity is the only teaching where it says that God literally comes inside of us and He changes us from the inside out. He transforms us. It's not a teaching of saying, well, just do all these things on the outside and then you'll be okay. He said, no, be born again. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you will literally be changed from the inside out. I'm going to take you to one teaching that brings a little more clarity to this. You don't have to turn there if you don't want. It's in Titus chapter 3. But in Titus 3, there's a great teaching here in verses 4 through 6 that explain this. It says in Titus chapter 3, going down to verse 4, but when the kindness and love of our God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us. Not because of righteous things we have done. In other words, not because of anything you did or I did on the outside, where God looked down at us and said, oh, you're wonderful, let me come and save you. No, but because of His mercy, He saved us through the washing of rebirth, being born again and renewed by the Holy Spirit through Jesus. So when we go back to Ephesians here, and Paul is saying to the church in Ephesus, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord and Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. One of those blessings, I believe he's referring to, is the fact that God has literally transformed us, you and me, as professing believers in Christ, from the inside out. But he goes on here, because I mentioned, you may recall, there's five spiritual blessings that I've come up with. Here's another theological term, justification. Justification. Justification means not guilty. Now follow along as I explain this. Some of you may watch Judge Judy on television, or some of these other judges on television. And when they listen to all the evidence, and then they make their decision, what is the very last thing the judge does after he makes his announcement, his decision? What does he do with the gavel? He takes the gavel, and he drops it, and he makes his decision. Justification is taking a spiritual gavel and dropping it down and declaring believers not guilty. Think about that. That is a wonderful blessing from God because of what Jesus has done on the cross and our embracing Him as Lord and Savior. Scripture teaches that we are justified. What does justification mean? Not guilty. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 expounds on this teaching in a little bit deeper fashion, and I just want to draw your attention to a couple of verses. See, Paul is telling the church in Ephesus about all these spiritual blessings that are theirs. One of them is the fact that we are not guilty. You see in Romans chapter 5, in verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified, what does that mean? Announced not guilty. Through what? Through our faith in Jesus. And then if you go down to verse 9. It says, since we have new birth, we have been justified by His blood. What Paul is teaching here is that as believers come to know Jesus through their faith and because of the blood of Christ, you and I have been justified. We have been declared not guilty. That is a fantastic teaching to never forget. Because the enemy wants to whisper in our ears, "Oh, you're not good enough. Oh, you said that the other day. You did that the other day." And Jesus is declaring that all of our sins have been paid for in full on the cross. As believers, we have been justified. Judge Jesus said, not guilty. A wonderful, wonderful teaching there. Here is a third spiritual blessing that I believe Paul was referring to. It is the whole teaching on adoption. Let me read this verse and then let me bring some clarification to you on this. If you turn to the Gospel of John, and let's look at John, let's look at one verse here, a couple of verses in John chapter 1, verses 12 through 13. It says here, "Yet to all who received Him, Him being Jesus Christ, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God." Do you realize that when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when you accepted Him, when I accepted Him, we were literally adopted into God's family. Did you come here this afternoon realizing that you've been adopted? Well, I haven't been adopted. I mean, I'm with my mom and my dad. We've been literally adopted into the family of God. And because God has adopted us into His family, there's all kinds of benefits of being His adopted children. We can, as I just alluded to, refer to ourselves as the children of God. We can refer to God as Abba, Father. We are co-heirs with Christ, it tells us. We are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are adopted into His family. We are citizens of heaven on earth. Do you realize what that means? That you have been adopted into the family of God? God has adopted you. That's why there's references in Scripture that we can refer to ourselves as the family of God, as God's children. Now, if I could have Bill Gates walk in, and Bill Gates make a declaration that he's going to pick two people in here who are going to be his heirs. When he dies, you're going to receive everything that Bill Gates has. The two of you will split it. How would that make you feel? Kind of excited? Who wouldn't want to have all the possessions of Bill Gates, right? Scripture teaches us that we are co-heirs with Christ. It lists that out in Romans 8. We're not going to go there. We're co-heirs with Christ. Do you understand what that teaching is saying? We're part of the family of God. We're God's children. Therefore, we're heirs of all that He has. Co-heirs with Christ. Citizens of heaven on earth because we've been adopted into His family. So when Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus and talking about the spiritual blessings, I am quite certain that Paul is referring to the fact that you and I have been regenerated. We've been born again. God is changing us from the inside out. He's also referring to the fact that you and I have been justified. We are declared not guilty. And that we have been adopted into the family of God. So much so that Scripture teaches that at the end of time, the books are going to be open and God's going to look to see whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And as citizens of heaven on earth who have embraced Jesus as Lord and Savior, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That should encourage us tremendously. There's another teaching that I believe Paul's referring to, the fourth one that I want to draw your attention to, and it's the whole concept of sanctification. Sanctification is a big, fancy, theological, seminary, church word that just means to be set apart, to be made holy. What God is teaching through the whole process of sanctification is that as we follow Him, as we embrace His teaching, He's wanting to set us apart to do things that appear to the world and before Him as acts of righteousness and holiness. And He wants us to become more and more like Him, to be set aside, to not live a life like that. Positionally, we're sanctified before the Lord. Practically, He wants us to continue to be working on that day in and day out. 1 Peter, if you're following along, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, a couple of verses that I want to read for you. First Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. Peter's writing here, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance." Well, when did we live in ignorance? We lived in ignorance when we didn't know anything about Jesus. When we didn't know that He died on the cross for our sins. When we maybe knew that but didn't accept Him as Lord and Savior. We were living in ignorance and making stupid decisions and living like a pagan. Peter's saying here, as obedient children in verse 14, don't conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as He who is holy, so be holy in all that you do. Positionally, we are sanctified before the Lord. Practically, He wants us to be working that out and become more and more and more like Him on the earth. So you open up a book of Ephesians, and you have Paul writing them a letter to encourage them. And he's writing to believers because it refers to the saints, and the spiritual blessings that are yours and mine, we've been regenerated, born again, from the inside out. You and I have been justified. We have been declared not guilty. We've been literally adopted into the family of God. He adopted us into His family. And we have all the rights of kinship, if you will, as being part of the family of God. And we have been sanctified. The last one that I want to draw your attention to that Paul expounds on a little bit further in Ephesians 1, if you turn back to Ephesians 1, talks about the Holy Spirit. Because as he goes down to verse 13, Paul is saying in Ephesians 1, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you are marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance." As Paul is talking about the spiritual blessings, another one that he's referring to, and the last one I'm going to make note of, is the fact that as all these things have taken place in our lives, God has literally taken His Spirit and put it inside of believers. It's inside of you, it's inside of me. As a down payment, if you will, it says in Ephesians, guaranteeing our inheritance. So as Paul writes to other churches, like Corinthians, for instance, he's referring to believers as the temple of God. He's doing that because since the Holy Spirit resides in us, we're literally the temple of God. So I can come up here this afternoon as your brother in Christ and speak to you, those of you who know Jesus as Lord and Savior, temple to temple, spirit to spirit. Do you understand that? It's not flesh to temple, or it's not temple to flesh, But as I share with believers, as you share with believers, we're literally speaking to one another, temple to temple. That is absolutely amazing when you think about that. That God would do all that for us. That He would love us that much to send Jesus on the cross to provide all this for professing believers. You see, as we come together today, or come and gather today for this accreditation service, it's not merely to go through a denominational process, but it's to celebrate these spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ and to get reignited to take these truths out to a lost and dying world that has no idea that these spiritual blessings could be theirs. And to tell them the good news of Jesus before it is too late. That's why, and I'll close with this verse in the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 8, it's a very familiar passage to many of you. But in Romans chapter 8, hang on to this teaching, because when life gets brutal out there, and it's tough at times, isn't it? I don't have to tell you all that's going on around the globe, all that's going on in the United States, many of the struggles that we have in our own personal lives. But be encouraged, because in Romans 8:1, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you know why there's no condemnation? Because we have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So as we go through an accreditation process in just a couple of minutes, I want to close my thoughts by going back to Ephesians and reminding you once again, I'm being repetitious on purpose so that we can get it into our spiritual DNA. Paul is saying to the church, praise be to the God and Father in Ephesians 1:3 of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Listen to these as I say them one last time. Own them. This is for you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. This is what God has done for you. Receive these spiritual blessings from the Word today. What is the first spiritual blessing that we have as the body of Christ? We have been regenerated, or regeneration, which means what? To be born again. Where we're changed from the inside out. Where the old way of doing things is gone. And the new has come. That's fantastic. If I would have heard the teachings of Christ and then would have had to figure out on my own, all by myself, how to do this, I couldn't have done it. Could you? But God changed us from the inside out. Second spiritual blessing. As believers in Christ, we have been justified. And what does that mean? The spiritual gavel has come down and declared us what? Not guilty. Praise His name. And not guilty. Another spiritual blessing is a whole teaching of adoption. We have literally been adopted into the body of Christ. God has adopted you into His family. And since He's adopted you, we can refer to ourselves as the children of God. We can call Him Abba, Father. We are co-heirs with Christ. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's why Paul says that we're literally citizens of heaven on earth. I know many of you travel. Probably a good portion of you have traveled to Asia at one time or another, and they always ask for our passport. That passport is just temporary, because you and I are not, in a spiritual sense, citizens of earth. We're citizens of heaven, just temporarily on this earth. Sanctification, to be set apart, to be made holy. And then to have the Holy Spirit to literally come and reside in us so that I can talk to you and you can talk to me, temple to temple. Do you realize that if you're sitting next to a professing believer this afternoon, you're sitting next to the temple of God? Do you realize that? There are a lot of temples of God in here this afternoon. All because of what He has done for us on the cross. May His Holy Spirit have His way with all of us. Not only as we celebrate these spiritual truths, but we continue to live life with the reality of those truths present in our lives. And I just want to encourage you, think for a moment of the person that God used to lead you into a personal relationship with Jesus so that all these spiritual blessings could be yours. Just think for a moment quietly who that person was. I want to encourage you to now go out and be that person to somebody else while they still have an opportunity to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Brothers and sisters, there is eternal condemnation for those who are not. May we continue to be a church that is obsessed with discipleship, obsessed with proclaiming Christ to a lost and dying world. Would you please join me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, thank You for unspeakable love that You have for us. And thank You for those individuals or a particular individual who You used to share the good news of Christ with us. Thank You for the spiritual blessings that are ours because of knowing Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We just want to tell You this afternoon, Lord, that we love You. And we are overwhelmed by the love that You have for us. Thank You for us being able to celebrate the reality of a vision that You put in the hearts of some spiritual leaders a number of years ago to create a Chinese ministry outpost here in this part of Metro Detroit. We thank You for all the conversions that we have experienced. We thank You for all the baptisms. We thank You for all the hours that Your Word has been taught, for all the messages that have been preached. We thank You for all those people who were condemned and then had their lives transformed by the blood of Christ. May You continue to use us for kingdom advancement. And as we go through the rest of this service with a formal accreditation piece and some sharing testimonies and everything else that we have planned, in all of this, Lord, please hear our hearts. We want You to be exalted as we celebrate what You have done in us and amongst us. As we pray these things with joyful hearts in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. What I would like to do now is take us through a formal accreditation process. There needs to be a sense of formality to this because minutes are going to be taken of this process, many of which I already have written out, Jerry. So they're going to be filed and they're going to be kept in our official records with the Christian Missionary Alliance, noting this day. This is a day where we officially become accredited, which means you are, as of today, an official Christian Missionary Alliance church. you were before, but when we use the word official, we're merely referring to the fact that the congregation has grown to the point now that it's able to support itself financially, it's able to govern itself, and there's a commitment to be self-propagating, or it's a fancy way of saying going out and proclaiming the good news of Christ. You're having your independence, if you will, under the structure of the Christian Missionary Alliance. So what I need to do, and there'll be a couple of these recommendations where I will call the pastor forward to read some names for me, but what we're going to do is go through nine formal recommendations. Because of the formality of today's setting, I need to read all these recommendations word for word, and then I will guide you in how to respond to them. Here would be recommendation number one. In fact, before I go through all of these, you've been sitting for a while. Let's stand for 30 seconds and just stretch our legs a little bit. By the way, you're standing next to a temple of God. You may want to greet that temple. Okay, please be seated. This first recommendation, I'm going to mention who we're going to elect to serve as the secretary of this meeting. And then there's a word in here called pro tem. It's just a fancy word to imply that this person is going to be the secretary just for this accreditation piece of this service. So when we're done with the nine recommendations, his responsibilities are finished. But we do need to officially vote him in. So here's recommendation number one. Be it resolved that Jerry Isles Chung be elected secretary pro tem for this accreditation meeting. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Thank you. Mr. Secretary, why don't you come up? I have these recommendations, a copy for you to follow through. Here is recommendation number two. Be it resolved that the purpose of this meeting is for the accreditation of Detroit Chinese Alliance North, State of Michigan, on September 25th, 2011, to be fully accredited with the Church, with the Christian and Missionary Alliance, 8595 Explorer Drive, Colorado Springs, Colorado, and an integral part of the Great Lakes District of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, 2250 Huron Parkway, Ann Arbor, Michigan. All those in favor of recommendation number two, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. was that a sneeze or? recommendation number three, and I'm going to ask a pastor if you would come forward here, come up to the podium. Recommendation number three reads this way. Be it resolved that the following persons listed on the attached sheet, we're going to read the attached sheet, are hereby charter members. A great distinction, by the way. You have one chance to become a charter member in a church, and that's when it becomes accredited. But the names on the attached sheet are hereby charter members of Detroit Chinese Alliance North, of Troy, of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. As pastor reads your name, would you please stand?
Sister Guo Aihua, I believe she's in China now. Brother Li Bowei and Sister Wang Kangping. Brother Charles Yuan, sit down please. Yeah, thank you. Brother Charles Yuan and Sister Han Ping.
Please remain standing once you stand.
Okay. Brother Wei Chen and Sister Zhang Yanyang. Brother Xu Zhengjie and Sister Zhang Xianhua. Brother Wang Chungang. Brother Liu Chunyan. Sister Liu Chunyan. 赵从菊, sister 赵从菊 is here. Ganzhou and sister 穆少华. Brother George He and sister Wang Yan. Guang Min and Wang Yan.
Are you changing your mind or is everything okay?
Sister Gao Yunhong, yeah, I believe she's in hospital. Her brother Nihai and sister Zhao Zhe. Sister Gu Hang. Brother Harry Li, Xu Gang Dixiong, and sister Huang Weiping. Brother Yang Huibin and sister Cai Juan. Brother Jerry Chun and sister Fei Ya. Brother Shu Jianing and sister Geng Wen. Sister Guo Jianmei. Brother Lan Jun and sister Zhou Tong. Zhou Junying, yeah, sister Zhou Junying. Brother Larry Chen and Tang Huiwen, sister Tang Huiwen. Brother Holly and sister Zhu Xiaolian. Sister Zhang Lei. Sister Li Luan. Sister Zhou Ming, sorry, brother Zhou Mingxin and sister Jiang Shen. Brother Wang Mingsheng and sister Zhang Xiaomei. Sister Du Ping. Brother Lin Qian. Brother Ke Shaobang and sister Sheng Yiwei. Brother Deng Shaoming and sister Feng Yan. Brother Li Shunshan and sister Li Hui. Brother Liang Tao and sister Cheng Peng. Brother Zhang Tao and sister Hua Bei. Brother Yao Zemi and sister Shi Mei. Brother Sui Tanghai and sister Su Yingxue. Huang Wei Yun, sister Huang Wei Yun. Ai. Brother Wu Xiangping and sister Zhao Xiaodong. Brother Wang Xiahe and sister Yan Yuping. Brother Huang Yanjun and sister Wang Ping. Sister Li Yilan. Brother Kong Yong and sister Dong Su Mei. Brother Liu Yuchan and sister Guo Xinning. Brother Liu Yunshan and sister Wang Xin. Brother Hua Yusheng and sister Xiu Qin. Brother Kou Zhifeng.
Thank you. Please remain standing. Let me reread recommendation number 3. Be it resolved that the following persons listed on the attached sheet, we just read that sheet, of course, and many of you are here standing, are hereby charter members of Detroit Chinese Alliance North of Troy, Michigan, of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. You may be seated. You can sit down. Now, in all due respect to everyone here, since we've officially received the members of this church, from this point forward now, I would ask that only the members would vote as members of this congregation. Recommendation number 4. Be it resolved that we adopt the Alliance Constitution for Local Churches, as adopted by the Annual Council of the Christian and Missionary Alliance and recorded in the official manual of said denomination. All those in favor of recommendation number 4 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Thank you. Recommendation number 5, be it resolved that we adopt the newly established church bylaws, which I believe you voted on a couple of weeks ago. So it's just adding what you did now into the formal minutes of this meeting. All those in favor of recommendation number 5, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Thank you. Recommendation number 6, be it resolved that the annual congregational meeting of Detroit Chinese Alliance North shall be held before November 1st of each year. This is merely taken out of the bylaws that you have already approved, but we want to have the notation listed here when the annual meeting is to take place. All those in favor of recommendation number 6, say aye. Members?
Aye.
Opposed, members? Thank you. Recommendation number 7. Pastor, if you would come up, let me read the recommendation before he reads. This is a much shorter list. Be it resolved that the following persons listed on the attached sheet, he's going to read the attached sheet, are hereby elected to serve on the governing board according to their respective terms of office until the next annual congregational meeting when elections shall be held according to the regulations of the CMA Constitution and Detroit Chinese Alliance North of Troy bylaws. Let me just make a few comments here. You'll recall that when you voted in your bylaws, you agreed that the terms of office for elders would be 2 years on the board, and those that were not serving in an elder capacity would be a one-year term. What we're going to do now is, since we're becoming accredited here on the September 25th month of the year, we have 3 more months to go, we're going to have the one-term people, their term of office would be the next 3 months and then all of 2012. And those who will have 2 years, the elders will be the next 3 months and 2 years, which would take you to the end of 2013. So as Pastor reads these 5 names of who will serve on the governing board, you'll make note of why those particular dates are listed as they are.
First, Gan Zhou, term until December 31, 2013. Jerry Chung, would you please stand up? Term until December 31, 2013. And Elder Deng Shaoming, term until December 31, 2013. Brother Larry Chen. Term until December 31, 2012. Sister Wang Yan. Term until December 31, 2012.
Thank you. And Jerry, if you would make a notation in the minutes here, there was one thing that we may want to consider, not at this time, but at a future time, adding to your bylaws. They didn't indicate when the terms of office officially began. They only noted, as I read through them, how long that term would be. So in dialoguing with your pastor, it was my understanding the terms of office would begin in January. So we may want to make a notation if that would be representative of the board's feeling, so that even though we're having our annual congregational meeting each year before November 1st, those who would be elected to the board wouldn't start until January 1st. So it's about 2 months the election takes place before the actual term of office begins. Let me go back and read a recommendation. Thank you, Pastor. Let me go back and read recommendation number 7 one more time. Be it resolved that the following persons listed on the attached sheet, which Pastor just read, are hereby elected to serve on the governing board according to their respective terms, we noted that, of office until the next annual congregational meeting when elections shall be held Jerry, you'll want to take note that the next meeting there won't be any elections because the terms of office, it depends if you have an annual meeting before November 1st of this year. If you would, there wouldn't be any terms of office coming up until the following annual meeting of 2012. So if there is an annual congregational meeting this year, I guess there has to be. We just voted on it. Note that while the states there be elections, it won't apply to the one coming up. Does everyone understand? To the respective terms of office until the annual congregational meeting, when elections shall be held, and again, elections will be held in 2012, not 2011, congregational meeting, according to the regulations of the CMA Constitution and Detroit Chinese Alliance North of Troy bylaws. I hope the commentary I added didn't muddy your understanding of the recommendation. But for those members who are here, all those in favor of recommendation number 7, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Thank you. We're almost through this. Recommendation number 8 is a little bit wordy, so bear with me. And let me just share with you before I read it what the recommendation is saying. In the Christian and Missionary Alliance, all church property, if the church would ever cease to exist, reverts back to the Christian and Missionary Alliance. The reason for that provision is not to control, but to protect. There have been some situations in the past, they've been rare, but there have been situations in the past where an outside group that holds to a different theology than the Christian Missionary Alliance will come into a church body, wiggle their way into the church leadership, and then decide that they want to take the church and all of its assets out of the Christian Missionary Alliance. The Christian Missionary Alliance puts in what we call reversionary language, saying that can never happen. It's the heart of this congregation to be with the Christian Missionary Alliance, and we're going to put some legal wording in here to protect the intent of the congregation's heart. So it protects you. It doesn't try to control you. So that's what this language is saying, that if the church ever ceases to exist. And by the way, down the road, if the Lord should tarry, churches do have particular life cycles. If you think about all the churches that the Apostle Paul planted, I don't know of any of them that are still open. But they go through a life cycle, and then their seed comes down to the ground, and their seed is replanted, and other ministries are sprouted up. In fact, churches that have been closed in the district here, we take all of those assets and replant churches. We use none of the assets for the denomination itself. So that's what's this is all saying, and there's going to be some legal verbiage here. Be it resolved that the church governing board be authorized to take any and all legal steps which are necessary for the insertion in all present and future church property deeds and in the church charter, the article of incorporation, the following reversionary clause of the Christian Missionary Alliance. And here's that clause. Detroit Chinese Alliance North is connected with and subordinate to the Christian and Missionary Alliance of Colorado Springs, Colorado, the parent religious society. Should this church cease to exist as a corporate body or cease to be subject to the purposes, usages, doctrines, and teachings of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, then all of its property owned or held shall revert to and become the property of the district of the Christian Missionary Alliance within whose jurisdiction this church is located. How's that? Who would like to repeat that for me, word for word? Did you catch that? Again, hopefully you've captured the heart of that. This is the denomination's attempt to come alongside and protect what you're organizing today as an official church of the Christian Missionary Alliance so that no one entity can come in and divide that up and break apart the will of this congregation. For the members here, all in favor of recommendation number 8, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. One more recommendation. It's a short one. It's recommendation number 9. Be it resolved that all true copies of the official documents, such as deeds, charter mortgages, and all official minutes related to these items, as well as the minutes of this current organizational meeting. So, Jerry, that's saying that you'll sign everything and send it off to us, the minutes of this meeting, most of all which are typed out here for you. Be prepared and sent to the Great Lakes District Office for filing. What this recommendation is saying is as you acquire property in the future, we want to have copies of deeds and mortgages and all of that. And again, is to protect the congregation. So if some outside group wants to come in and try to grab that asset, we have copies of all the legal documents. Recommendation number 9 for the members is before you. All those in favor of recommendation number 9 say aye, members.
Aye.
And opposed, no. Well, thank you. And let me officially welcome you as the newest accredited congregation of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. So you can give yourself a hand.
接下来我们Youth可以去你们的活动，那么下一个我们要请张牧师给我们说几句话，圣牧师现在在中国跟让福牧师在一起，所以呢，我们也特别请张牧师先给我们说话，然后再听圣牧师的那个video，请张牧师。
各位弟兄姊妹， 我非常荣幸是你们成为正式的教会以后第一个跟你们祝贺的，我代表韦恩华人宣道会 Detroit Central Alliance Chinese Church 来祝贺各位弟兄姊妹，经过了四年五年你们在主的面前传福音造就门徒，你们在主的面前耕耘， 今天我们可以在这里成立一个正式的教会。那其实原来给我的题目是见证，所以如果是见证的话，我就必须讲一点历史。那个时候我们还没有这个教会，我们所有的教会的弟兄姐妹，以前比较老的弟兄姊妹，我们都是在我们叫它母堂，或者是叫它是原来的 Metro Detroit Chinese Alliance Church。 大概在13年以前， 上帝很特别的 开始在那个教会有一个很特别的 movement， 就是宣教。 那我记得在1998年的时候， 突然开始我们在那边那个教会有弟兄姐妹开始注意到宣教，然后一对又一对的短宣队到不同的地方开始宣教。 然后教会的那个宣教基金一倍两倍三倍的成倍数的，就在几年之内就成长上去。那所有的教会的牧师长老领袖他们都到各个地方去传福音去宣教。那回来以后我们这些弟兄姊妹经历宣教的 的弟兄姊妹，我们很兴奋，我们觉得上帝在这边做一件很新很特别的事情。但是另外有一方面，我们就在思考，我们一方面看到神在美国的本土以外，那个时候是在以色列，在巴西，在德国，在欧洲其他的东欧其他的国家做很特别的工作。可是另外一方面，我们就在想，我们说主啊， 你差我们到遥远的地方去，但是在本地我们应当做什么？所以大概就在那个时候，我记得大概是在10年以前，可能是2000年左右，就有一群弟兄姊妹，包括今天在座的志宏长老、圣牧师、我自己，还有当时的道坤弟兄，还有几位。我记得那个时候， 就在每个星期，我忘记是每个星期还是一个月有一次，在星期六的早上，我们就在一起祷告。 说神啊，你 要我们做什么？大概是在那个时候，大概十多年前，在母堂底特律华人宣道会，我们就从神那边来了一个意象，说我们不但是要我们的钱，要我们的人到远的地方去宣教，去传福音，我们也愿意神在这个地方给我们一个意象，让我们可以在这个地方能够执堂。那我记得就在那个样的祷告，每个月一次我们早上我们一起祷告的里面，两个教堂诞生了。一个是在2003年，就是在韦恩大学附近的韦恩华人宣道会，或者是 Central Alliance Chinese Church， 在2003年诞生了。然后就在那段时间，志宏长老他就很清楚，他说神也给了意向，要在北边能够开始一个教会。那我记得在那段时间，在那个韦恩华人宣道会开始以前，教会为了准备那个教会能够执堂，所以特别把中文的崇拜分成两堂，一堂早一点，人不多，大概三四十个人，然后另外一个就是现在平常聚会的时间，然后准备教会可以执堂。那这样的分开经过了几年，大概是在2005年，是不是的时候，我们北堂觉得差不多了，我想那个详细的历史也许等一下会讲，然后就决定要开始成立教会。那个时候志宏长老还有一些其他的弟兄姊妹就开始成立一个 core team， 大家就一起祷告，然后就越来越多的弟兄姊妹参加，然后就开始有小组开始出来聚会。然后时候到了，我记得在那个有差遣礼，但是差遣礼之前做了一件事情，就是把两堂原来预备好说这两堂聚会的目的，就是第一堂为了训练培养能够出去职堂的弟兄姊妹的那样的聚会，把它结束掉，然后合并成一堂聚会。然后不久以后就有差遣礼，那差遣礼以后你们就开始有自己的聚会。那我当时的这件事情发生以后，我回到教会去聚会，我突然有一个很大的感受，是教会主日崇拜本来热热闹闹满满的人，好像突然人少了很多。我心里面就突然有一个那个感觉，就是对于圣牧师有一个很大的敬佩。他不是一个是要我们人越来越多的教会，他有一个很清楚的意向，是说这个教会长到一个地步就预备好了要去往前升，有新的教会出来，所以有更多更新的弟兄姊妹有机会能够听到福音，能够被培养再成长起来。然后也就是在那段时间陈让福牧师从神学院快要毕业，就回来拜访我们，拜访教会讲道。那我记得我就跟圣牧师还有志宏长老，我们就在不同的机会不同的情况跟他谈，他在那个时候讲得很清楚，他说我的呼召是做宣教士，所以我不可能在一个地方留太久，但是他说我在走出去以前，我愿意学习一件事情，就是能够在一个开始的教会，一个职场的教会里面一起学习，一起同工，成为这个教会的牧师。然后当我自己装备好，这个教会装备好以后，我要出去。所以大概两年以前，那个让福牧师一年多以前，两年以前，他决定他就离开这个教会。那现在在中国成为宣教士。我感谢主，前面有很好的榜样，你们的让福牧师，然后圣牧师，他们不自私， 他们帮助你们把这个教会建起来。所以今天这两位牧师很可惜都不在现场，看到这个教会正式成为一个独立的教会。但是我相信等一下他们都要跟你们讲话，我很感谢主。我们自己有一个小的教会，韦恩华人宣道会，大概我们教会成立了两年以后，我们教会经过很多很兴奋的事情，每一年有二三十个人受洗成为基督徒，但是也有很多很低落的时候，就是每一年到了暑假的时候，我们好不容易培养好的那些基督徒服侍的最好的时候，他们突然毕业了，他们要走了。所以我们在我们的那个服侍里面经历了很多起起伏伏，看到人信主，看到人受洗，我们非常兴奋。但是每一年要送走那么多的弟兄姊妹，我们说每一年要送走三分之一的弟兄姊妹，我们心里面实在不舍得。那在我们这样高高低低的起伏里面，我记得有一次有一个弟兄，他就跟我们在同工会的时候提到一件事情，他说我们的成绩单在哪里？ Where is our report card? 他说我们的成绩单应该不是每一年有二三十个人受洗接受耶稣做他们个人的救主，那个会使我们过分的高兴，但是我们的成绩单也不是当到暑假的时候，我们看到我们又有一二十个二三十个人一二十个人离开我们，那会让我们很沮丧。我们教会的人好不容易起来了，又到了暑假又降下来，好不容易坐起来了又降下来。他说那个成绩单应该不是人数，他说所以我们就在讨论我们的成绩单是什么。然后那位弟兄跟我们讲，他说我们的成绩单应该不是看今年我们有多少人，明年有多少人，我们的成绩单应该是看五年以后十年以后那些在我们教会得救信主的弟兄姊妹，他们是不是好好的仍然在福音的工厂上面继续传福音，仍然在教会里面继续培育门徒，然后去继续参与职堂。那感谢主，虽然很多人我已经失去联络，但是有一些人我还在联络。我知道有很多的弟兄姊妹，他们已经五年了，已经七年了，我们教会成立到今年是第八年多，他们在教会里面好好的服侍。我也知道有好几位他们回到了中国，已经在那边成立教会，或者到了一些学校去，一些大学，他们没有查经班，他们成立查经班，但是也有已经有人已经离开教会，都有。那对我们来讲，我们在那个时候决定弟兄姊妹在五年十年以后他们在哪里，那是我们的成绩单。各位弟兄姊妹，我想今天要跟弟兄姊妹最后的一分钟勉励大家，到底你们教会的成绩单是什么？如果你们看今天有多少人在你们教会，你们是不是每一年涨10%、5%或者20%，你们会很高兴？但是我希望那不是你们的成绩单，因为那样的成绩单是看神怎么样祝福我，而是用很近视神怎么样用人数祝福我。我也不希望你们的成绩单是你们每一个月的你们的财务报表，说我们今年我们这个月我们奉献有多少，我们今年是赤字还是黑字。我想勉励各位弟兄姊妹，如果你是宣道会的话，请你考虑两件事情做你的成绩单。第一件事情是前面的圣牧师，前面的让福牧师已经给各位弟兄姊妹做了很好的榜样，他们 release 你们出来职堂，今天可以成为一个独立的教会。我希望你们的成绩单的第一个 mark 是，也许五年以后，也许几年以后，你们可以说我们在另外一个地方我们再植了一间教堂，而那一间教堂是可以继续职堂的教堂， 而你们的教堂五年以后十年以后不但只一间以后第二间第三间要继续直下去我希望那是你们的那个成绩单上的第一个 mark 然后我希望你们成绩单上的第二个 mark 是你们这个教会已经第一位的宣教士让福牧师送出去你们继续能够有多少的宣教士能够 送出去也许不是你也许是你的儿子跟女儿也许不是今年也许是一年两年以后各位弟兄姊妹教会开始不容易走到这一步不容易我真的恭喜你们但是要继续走下去那个是我们宣道会的 DNA 那我勉励大家我也期许大家既然我们是宣道会几年以后我巴不得你们有这样的成绩交出来另外一个堂被你们指出来巴不得几年以后另外的一个两位三位的宣教士被你们送出去谢谢各位弟兄姊妹给我在这里有机会跟大家分享我们一起祷告亲爱的天父我们来到你的面前我们向你祷告愿你祝福我们的北堂愿你丰丰富富的恩典在我们每一个来到北堂的主要那些还没有认识你的人来到这里就成为认识你而且全心爱你的基督徒主要那些已经认识你在这里的就好好的成长主要但是我们求你不只是在这边让我们成为一个多大的教会是的主我们求你祝福所以这个教会能继续成长但是我求你让这个教会能成为是职堂的教会让这个教会能成为是差遣宣教士是送宣教士出去的教会谢谢你这样祷告奉耶稣基督的圣名阿们谢谢
北堂的弟兄姐妹大家平安我很遗憾在今天的庆典我无法亲自来参加但是就在大家来看这一个录像的时刻我正是和大家所亲爱的杰克牧师我们两个人在一起所以我们的心是跟你们在一起的虽然我们的身体无法在一起跟你们一起来庆祝北堂是从神给我们的一个职堂的意向开始的所以今天能够正式的独立完完全全是上帝的恩典但是也是上帝的恩典感动大家来齐心努力所以我们可以开花结果我们把一切的感恩都归给神那现在已经正式独立了我们说这已经是一个新的里程碑大家一定在想下一步要做什么呢是不是就要建堂啊买堂啊等等这固然是好的但是我在这边有两样事情想跟大家分享第一个就是既然北堂是从神给的一个职堂意向开始的所以我们要继续持守这个意向好像北堂在过去就说北堂是要建立成一个传扬耶稣改变生命的爱建立互相关心的大家庭这两句话是神给北堂的意向我们就继续来持守第二在这个持守的过程当中我们要学会不断地问神What are you up to? 神啊你在做什么这句话是适用在各个层面个人家庭整个教会甚至我们的社区整个国家全世界神都在做事我就举最近的一个例子就是韦恩教会邀请我们一起跟他们配合同工因为他们在底特律当趟做学生事工啊，韦恩大学的还有底特律大学的主校区都已经照顾不过来神在今年开了一个很奇妙的门就是把很多的学生三十多位带到北校区有许多人就是在教会我们教会附近住公寓住所以我们就看见这是神的手 这就是神在 up to 的，所以我们就跟神来一起配合同工啊，这不容易，因为我们不是一个做学生事工的教会，可是我们愿意来配合神很明显的动工，都把人带到我们大门口了，我们义不容辞，所以我们就是边做边学，边学边做。那这样的一个探索的过程是充满挑战，但也充满了无比的兴奋，所以在这边就祷告说，北堂就继续来按着圣灵所引导你们的步伐，把耶稣基督福音高举起来，把天父的爱跟神要你们所服侍的对象分享，来荣耀神，迎接耶稣基督再来，愿神赐福给大家。
弟兄姐妹，主内平安。
Hello，
弟兄姐妹好。
好 ，Stephanie 还在台湾。我们三个人向弟兄姐妹们问安，我们非常感谢神，你们常常想念我们，那我们也是常常想念你们。那圣经讲到，我们说我们每回想念你们的时候，我们都常常的感谢神，我们常想起过去在一起的美好的时光，我们传福音，带门徒建教会。那今天是一个特别喜庆的日子，我们知道说北堂被总会认可了，那我们也相信他是被神认可了我们也独立于人了。来感谢神的是，我们没有独立于神，而且我们永远也不会独立于神，我们更加依靠神，好像母亲把女儿送给许配给耶稣基督一样，来我们的北堂许配给耶稣基督。所以我们能够讲的话就是勉励大家让起初那个爱心爱人灵魂的心更加火热起来，而且还要有爱弟兄姐妹的心，因为神告诉我们说，如果我们彼此相爱，众人就认出我们是主的门徒，如果我们彼此相爱，神就住在我们中间。我想这些话这就是我们要讲的。
愿神大大的祝福北堂，也愿神大大使用北堂，
愿神在主耶稣基督里丰丰富富的祝福北堂，祝福你们，祝福弟兄姐妹们，我们还会思念你们啊！拜拜，
拜拜。
好，你说。我先说。
弟兄姐妹，主内平安。
弟兄姐妹朋友们大家好，
嗨。
好，谢谢张牧师、圣牧师、陈牧师的分享我们接下去看一些 video， 还有回顾一些历史。那我想光斌准备了这个history， 那我想我们很快的来把一些事情回顾一下。那张牧师刚刚回顾了一个他的印象中的那一段，那我们现在回顾一下哈。第一个就是说到2005年的时候，刚刚张牧师讲说，其实是就是我们看见在底特律北边这边有很多华人，但是没有教会。我们说我们希望人走到13迈去比较困难，我们只好来走到北边来哈。所以在2005年的时候，我们那时候考量张牧师的印象可能没有我的印象深刻，因为我是身在其中。那时候我们就考量说我们要到北边来执堂，那神也预备了让福牧师，等于是他神学院要毕业啊，所以我们就跟让福牧师商量，他也愿意。那当时有一个事情，我觉得现在是可以提一下，就是说大家常常提说十家人是怎么回事，我在这里再次澄清一下。因为在2005年的时候，当我们开始决定执堂的时候，我们就在跟上帝，等于我跟上帝求一个 sign， 说神啊，我们怎么知道是你的心意？所以我们当时就跟就有一个决定，我就跟上帝我们求，就是说我们公布，我们不去邀请，我们就是公布，如果神真的马上给我们10家人，这就是一个 sign。 所以当时就是我们一公布，很快的时间有10家人，但是真正我们出来执堂的时候已经超过10家人。但是为什么提10家人呢？就是说10家人是一个 sign。 就当时我跟上帝求说，我们不去邀请， 如果神你真的感动十家人跟我们一起去，那就是一个 sign 哈。所以当时就有十家人就来 sign up 哈。所以那十家人就是当时来 sign up 那十家人，现在有一半以上已经不在我们当中。但是神就是那个2005年十月份给我们一个 sign， 说要去哈。那从2005年到第二个阶段，就是11月，我们就开始那开始我们的一起祷告。那那时候我们每个星期天下午，我们有一起的读经，我们有一起的祷告，我们在思想什么时候来出来哈。那时候我们遇到很多的挑战，很多人问我们说：“你们出来干什么？”人说：“你这个你面对的对象，生活都过得很好啊，你们要到哪里去聚会？”很多很多的问题。但是很奇妙的就是说，神还是预备我们。当我们一开始第一次聚会的时候，马上人就很多。所以下一个在2006年四月复活节，那个时候就在 Rochester Baptist Church 就决定愿意借教会给我们用。所以那是我们第一次开始星期五晚上的聚会，就是利用 Rochester Hill Baptist Church。 那也是很奇特的，因为那里有很多的中国家长把孩子送到教会去，所以那就是因为我们一开始的 base。 所以那时候是2006年的复活节是我们第一次的聚会。那到了八月份让福牧师从北卡神学院毕业回来，那么正式开始他在我们北堂的服事，带领我们整个教会。所以在他回来之前，我们大概有半年的聚会哈。2006年的九月哈，下一个那个是我们另外一件大事，就是我们中文学校成立。中文学校不能小看它，因为中文学校的确是让我们跟很多的还没有信主的朋友接触的一个很重要的管道。所以我们很感谢主在那时候2006年九月，如果印象没有记错，张磊我错了，纠正我哈。那我们从那时候开始成立中文学校。好，下一个哈，就是到了11月，感谢主，我们就有第一对就是有第一批弟兄姐妹信主哈，就少邦弟兄、春燕姐妹他们信主。好，2007年的一月哈，我们就开始第一次我们的同工聚会，由区长跟助理区长给我们做职堂的培训。我们花了两天的时间把我们的北堂的使命定下来，所以那个使命刚刚我们读的哈，传耶稣基督改变生命的爱，建立互相关心的大家庭哈，是那个时候建立哈。郑杰弟兄很不容易，因为讲话很快，他都要翻译哈，非常困难。好接下去到了三月，2007年的三月，我们就开始成立我们自己的奉献。那我们说我们的奉献是第一年25%自己，第二年50%，第三年75%，第四年我们完全财务独立。那我想这个是一个比较大的挑战，但是神也是祝福我们哈。好，到了下一个哈，就是到了2007年的复活节，你记得每一次的复活节都是我们的大日子哈。2007年的复活节，我们第一次在这里开始我们的主日崇拜啊。好，再接续下一页哈。然后2007年的六月，我们有成人主日学的开始。2008年的五月，我们开始为赈灾来祷告来捐款。然后见证我们北堂是一个有爱心的大家庭。2008年的六月，我们开始差派第一批短宣队出去，是让福牧师跟汤史龙弟兄到了西班牙短宣然后到2008年的十二月，我们发现我们跟 Rochester Baptist Church 我们没有办法继续在那里聚会。那时候我觉得我那时候跟让福牧师我们都是抓破头皮说怎么办，这个到哪里去，下一步就没有想到神开路让我们在 Kensington 开始聚会。那么 Kensington 的场地让我们展开了另外的下一步，所以我觉得这个是神开路哈。然后我们在2009年的六月，周刚牧师就职，然后让福牧师按牧，然后八月份，同年的八月，让福牧师到了中国宣教。然后2010年的四月，就是经过了四年以后，我们真正的财务独立，完全财务依靠自己。今年的五月份，我们确定了会友在会友大会选出新的长老。那今年的六月，陈阳弟兄接受我们的邀请，成为我们青少年的传道，开始带领我们青少年聚会。 今天啊，虽然他们啊青少年 worship team 人不多啊，因为学校里面有一些 band 啊，今天有 worship 有他们的活动，否则的话，我本来期望说有更多的青少年可能在这里带领哈。那我们在八月份的时候 bylaw 通过，然后到今天我们正式独立，所以我们很快的把过去这些事情回顾一下。啊，在弟兄当中的弟兄姐妹每一个走过的，我觉得都感谢主啊，很多同工很不容易啊，这特别是像啊儿童主日学同工，这每一个礼拜他都是在那里忠心的服事，相当的不容易哈、啊、所以我们为每一个人都来感谢主，我们也给自己一个鼓掌好不好，鼓掌啊，我们也为我们的上帝来鼓掌，谢谢他。好，接下来我们也来看一下，回顾一下，在过去的这些年，我们有多少位弟兄姐妹受洗？啊，真的神也使用北堂，我们有93个弟兄姐妹受洗，93个哈。所以光斌做了一个 video 给我们看，我们请一起来看一下。
What can I say? You are my everything. I will sing your praise. You shed your blood for me. What can I say? You took my sin and shame.A sinner called by name. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. For we know you're
好，感谢主的恩典啊，也是啊，让我们看到这些弟兄姐妹，也是我们有感恩啊。每一位可能都跟我们当中的弟兄姐妹有来往啊，跟我们生命有交集啊。我们接下去啊，我们来唱这个回应的诗歌，然后我们请诗事在第二节的时候给我们说奉献。我们来唱啊，成为我意象，好不好？我们一起来唱这首诗。